How many of you have ever been on like the sidelines of a race or in the grandstands and like something just comes over you, the excitement, like you'd think you're the one playing in there and that maybe your voice, if you shout loud enough, it's going to help them make the basket or help them run faster. And I turn into like a crazy woman at events. I can't sit still. And I remember Gary used to play basketball in college and he had gotten fouled. I don't even know how I got out of the bleachers and like right under the net where he's about to make a basket, but I've got the picture to prove it. This was during a game, and I know, don't keep it up there too long. It's like, add a ruffle or something, you know, to those shorts, something, but that was what they wore in the day, so I guess it was okay. But being in the inland Northwest, it's really amazing because here we host the Ironman. Now I guess we just host the half Ironman, but I love going down there. I feel so emotional when I'm down there just because I know these individuals have put in so much time and so much discipline into running this race and into, you know, accomplishing what they've set out to do. But what I love about the race is that you'll see family members or friends come in off the sidelines and actually run with them. Hey, if you don't speed up your time, you're not going to meet your cutoff. You know, just do you need more nutrition? Stop at the next aid station. Just they're just offering advice and words of wisdom. Well, that's what we're doing in this series. We're in the midst of a series called Heroes. And what we're looking at is these ordinary, imperfect, flawed individuals whom God loves. And we're really focusing not just on their imperfections, but the extraordinary God who leverages our lives, all of it. It all has mutual contribution for his good in our lives. And he uses all of our lives for extraordinary purposes. And so what we're doing each week, we're inviting one of these characters from Scripture to come into our own race, because Hebrews chapter 12, it says, we're surrounded by this crowd of witnesses that have gone before us, and they cheer us on, just like we cheer on people at a sidelines, helping us run that race with endurance. And so today, the individual coming out of the grandstand, coming from the sidelines to join us in our race is a guy named Jonah. And I love the story of Jonah. I'm not a very fast reader, but I'll tell you, this is Jonah's story right here. And I read it so many times this week while I was studying for it. It takes 5 minutes and 45 seconds, I timed it with my stopwatch, to read the whole story of Jonah. And I want to encourage you this week to go home, because I'm going to begin this book, but I'm not reading through the entire 5 minutes and 45 seconds. I guess I could, but we're not. We're going to look at the first couple of chapters. I want to encourage you to go home and read this. Invest 5 minutes of your life and just ask the Holy Spirit to continue to allow lessons to merge, because Jonah is going to come from the grandstands and run with us. And, you know, if you're like me, I had a hard time because it's just this one page that you open finding it. The only advice I can give you is if you come to words that say Jesus or like, it's all red, you've gone too far. Just flip back a few pages and you'll probably hit Jonah. So it's way in the back of the Old Testament, and it's an incredible story. And I've entitled this message today, Lessons from the Runner. I'm going to give us 5 lessons about us and 5 lessons about God that we learn from just these 2 pages of text. And inside your program today, we provide a message sheet. It's a blank paper, but I would really like you to grab it out and take notes. There's pens on the seats. I'd like you to take notes of this, at least in the form of a list. Okay, here's the 5 lessons about us. Here's the 5 lessons about God. Because I really believe this is something, you know, we can hear it, but then we forget, wait, what were those lessons? What are the things that I learned from Jonah's life? We can forget, but I'd encourage you to put it up on your refrigerator and just continue to remind yourself, God, this is what you taught me this weekend about who I am. But more importantly, this is what you taught me about who you are in the midst of my journey. And so I want us to begin by looking at this hero, Jonah. And we're going to start with the very first verse of the book of Jonah. And if you've read this story before, I'm just praying that the Holy Spirit would give us brand new ears to hear this and that new things, brand new things, would emerge from this story because it's just so great. So here it goes. The Lord gave this message to Jonah, the son of Amittai. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Now, Nineveh is today, it's modern-day Mosul over in Syria. So announce my judgment against it because I've seen how wicked its people are. So Jonah got up. Looks like he's about to obey, doesn't it? And I love the humor here. God says, get up and go. So Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. Now, here's a map. And on this map, you'll see that he's somewhere between Joppa over here on the right side and Nineveh. He's somewhere between that because the scripture says he went down to Joppa. So he's somewhere there, which was only 550 miles. But instead, he goes down to Joppa. He wants to take a 2,500-mile boat ride to Tarshish, which today it's modern-day Spain. So here's what we find out. He's running. Here's this wicked people that he's called to, I want you to go pronounce judgment on them. And because God is a God of mercy and compassion, and he doesn't want to go because he says in chapter 4, we find this out, I'll give you this backstory, I'm not going to read it today, but that I didn't want to go in the first place because I knew if they repented, you would change your mind and you wouldn't zap them. And these guys are so wicked and they're always tormenting and torturing their enemies. And I think you should just like, go ahead and judge them. Like, let lightning strike them, kill them. They deserve to die. And we think, wow, he is so narrow-minded. I can't believe it. Where's the compassion? But how many of us feel the same way when someone has hurt us, when they've wounded us deeply? Is your first prayer, oh God, just pour out your blessing on them and your favor. And oh, I pray everything they put their hand to do, just it's just fruitful. And it's just blessed by you. No. What do we say? God, judge them. Let them get what they deserve. That's our human reaction. See, the fact of the matter is, Jonah's a runner. And today's message is about lessons from the runner. But Jonah and you and I, we all have something in common. We all run. And you might say, well, no, actually, I don't run. I wouldn't do that. But ever since the garden, humanity has ran. I mean, think about it. They're in the Garden of Eden, which the Garden of Eden, it means the garden of pleasure, the garden of delight. So God creates this garden. He creates man and puts them in this garden of pleasure and delight. And I love the way the Children's Bible says it because it says, eat food and make babies. I mean, like literally, isn't that humanity's favorite thing? Like, let's eat food and make babies. Like, wow, God, we gave them everything. But the one thing he asked them not to do, they found intolerable. What? We can't do whatever we want? We're captain of our own ship. You can't tell us what to do. The enemy says, came to them and said, did God really say? Who's God to tell you what you can and can't do? And so they ate of the fruit, they sinned, and that's what running's all about, is when we choose to go our own way. Now, I think there's probably, in this room, there could be two categories of people. There could be individuals like my friend. Last year, she grew up in the church, but when she left home, she said, I don't want anything to do with God. I don't want him telling me what I can and cannot do in my life. I'm going to lead my own life. She even said to me, we were out stand-up paddling, and she goes, I just want you to know something from day one. She goes, will you still be my friend if I never come to your church? I go, yeah, I absolutely will. I'm honored to be your friend. She wants nothing to do with God in her life. There's that category of people. They're running from God with the whole of their life. But then there's those of us that we love God. We believe in him, we believe in his purposes, but we still run. We run in decisions that we make. Maybe we run because we're afraid that what God wants for us is different than what we want. For example, I don't want to talk to God about who I want to date or where I want to live or maybe the career path I'm going to go on because he might want me to go to Nineveh and I want to go to Spain. I want to go that direction. So I'm not going to include God in that. Maybe God has told you, I want you to stay in this marriage and work it out. And you're like, no, I'm done. I want a divorce. I'm out. Maybe God is saying to you, I'm giving you an opportunity to be generous. No, I want to buy this or that or the other thing. So we all run from God. And what we find in this, in the story of Adam and Eve, the story of Jonah, in all of our stories, is that we run from the author of life, trying to find life, and all we find is loss. And that's what these two pages of Jonah's story tell us. So if everybody runs, here's the question I want you to ask yourself today. If everybody runs, I think the best question I can ask is, God, how do I run? How do I run from you? So I want to look at these two pages of scripture, Jonah's story, and I want to give you five lessons. And the first lesson is this: if you want to run, there will always be a boat. Lesson number one, there will always be a boat headed to Tarshish. What do I mean? And this is a huge lesson. There will always, if you want to gossip, there will always be somebody to talk about. If you want to compare with one another, there will always be something to fuel that fire. If you want to hold resentment and bitterness, there will always be someone to blame for the pain in your life. Listen, if you want to give in to mismanage your sexual life, there will always be a site to click on. There will always be a boat headed for Tarshish. There's always a boat. So where is God in this story? Well, let's look at this. But the Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to break the ship apart. Fearing for their lives, the desperate sailors shouted to their gods for help, and they threw the cargo overboard to lighten the ship. Here's the second lesson that we learned from Jonah. Running from God is always costly. And it's not just costly for us, the one who's running. Whoever's in close proximity to our life, it's going to be costly for them as well. And you might think, well, wait, no, I'm not doing anything. It's not like I'm sharing the way I'm running with others. This is just impacting my life. Did you know we can never stop the ripple effect of our sin? We don't have any control of how far that ripple's going to go. We can't say, well, no, this is just my thing. This has nothing to do with anyone else. Who was suffering in this story? It was the sailors that were suffering. They were throwing over, they're just delivering cargo to Spain. And they're losing all of their cargo, all of their livelihood, everything they've worked for, they're losing. It's September 1st, 1983. It was a beautiful sunny day in Anchorage, Alaska. There was nothing happening in the headlines that day. It was a pretty lazy day in the world until evening. And all of a sudden, reports came in that Flight 007, a 747 jet that was headed from Anchorage, Alaska, going to Seoul, Korea, it had just been shot out of the sky in the Soviet Union. And some of you may have been alive at the time and you remembered this. But it was shot out of the sky. They were like, wait, if they were headed for Seoul, Korea, how did they end up over the Soviet Union? Well, what happened that morning as they were getting ready to fly? They've got their navigation box, and the pilot punched in the longitude number. He punched in 149. He hit a 4 instead of a 3. He was actually at the longitude line of 139. It was 10 degrees off course, hardly detectable. It was like if I'm standing here and I just went, you'd hardly be able to tell that I've moved at all. But what happened was the longer they flew, they were supposed to be going to Seoul, Korea, the more increasingly off course they became, until instead of ending up in Seoul, Korea, they thought it was an unregistered plane in their airspace. They thought it was a spy plane, and so they shot it down, and 269 civilians lost their lives that day for what began just 10 degrees off course. See, the longer we run, the more increasingly off course we become, and the more people that are going to pay for our running. I love Ravi Zacharias' quote. He says, sin will always take you further than you wanted to go. It will always keep you longer than you wanted to stay. And it will always cost you more than you ever, ever desired to pay. That's what it does. Now, where's Jonah? It says here, all this time, Jonah's sound asleep in the bottom of the boat. Man, these guys are just throwing their stuff overboard. They're losing everything. And he's got this false sense of security. I'm running from God. He's lost track of me. So the captain comes down to him and he says, how in the world can you sleep at a time like this? He shouted, get up and pray to your God. We've all been praying to ours. Maybe he'll pay attention to us and spare our lives. So they're trying to figure out, the storm keeps getting worse and worse. They're like, why is this happening to us? So they cast lots to try to figure out which of them had offended the gods and caused this terrible storm. Now, I don't know, casting lots, I don't know really how it worked, but in today's, I don't know if you've ever seen a magic eight ball. I heard this analogy and I grabbed hold of it because I had a magic eight ball. This was BC before Christ in my life. I was only 10, but I had a magic eight ball, and what it was it was this little ball filled with water, and there was a dice in it. So you'd ask a question, you know, should I like Doug Tilly, you know, and then you, it's not going to work out. It's a bad idea. And you just keep shaking this, trying to get the answer that you really want. You know, this is kind of like what I think casting lots might have been like for him. But it says, when they did this, the lot identified Jonah as the culprit. Okay, it got narrowed down, however, you know, the dice fell to him. Why has this awful storm come upon us? Now they're going to drill him. Who are you? What is your line of work? What country are you from? What is your nationality? And Jonah said, whoa, hey, I'm a Hebrew and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. Okay, now they're terrified when they heard this. For he had already told them when he was boarding the ship that, you know, you'd have to get on, there's a ledger. So it's like, why are you sailing? Business or pleasure? I'm running from God. I'm running from the Lord, you know, and so they just write it down next, you know, and they're just like, they didn't pay attention, you know, go ahead, run from your God, I don't care. And so, but it says they're terrified when they heard this, for he'd already told them he was running away from the Lord. Why did you do this? They groaned. Lesson number three. When we run from God, we run to the strangest places. This is true about all of humanity. We never run somewhere safe. We never run somewhere safe. Okay. If you're running from the God of the sea, I don't know why you'd get on a boat. And these guys are going, I don't know why you'd get on my boat. Our boat? You're running from the God of the sea and you chose our boat. It's like when we're running, this fog settles over us. And I know we've experienced this. Our reasoning stops, everything stops, and it's like it just makes sense in the moment and what we're doing, and we run to the most dangerous places. We never run somewhere safe. Since the storm was getting worse all the time, verse 11 says, they asked him, what should we do to you to stop this storm? Like, we just want to get our cargo to Spain. And he's suggesting this. Throw me into the sea, Jonah said, and it'll become calm again. I know that this terrible storm is all my fault. I love this, because he doesn't deflect. He comes clean, he confesses. I know this is my fault. He could have said, hey, I'm a victim too. You know, I don't control the wind and the weather. I don't know, I'm a victim here. You know, but he owned his stuff. And he said, what's happening here? It's my fault. So now they've got a decision to make. It's like, man, oh man, we're trying to carry cargo and now we're going to be accused of murder. They said they cried out to God, Jonah's God, Lord, they pleaded, please don't make us die for this man's sin and don't hold us responsible for his death, oh Lord. You've sent a storm upon him for your own good reasons. So they picked him up and threw him into the raging sea and the storm stopped at once. I want you for a minute to just use your imagination with me and pretend you've never heard this story before, okay? Because it says the sea grows calm. So I was just imagining this story like I want to read this for the first time. And I just paused there because when the sea grew calm, what my next frame would look like would be Jonah, you know, just on a real colorful floaty, you know, with a cold beverage in his hand going, you're a good, good father. It's who you are. You know, just like he confessed. Shouldn't it be like all up and to the right for him? Like, but that's not what happens. He gets thrown down into the sea, and here's lesson number four. When we run from God, our life begins to unwind and unravel. Some of us feel like, yeah, you know, I'm doing stuff, but hey, I feel pretty much at rest in the boat. I'm just sleeping in the boat. Everything's good. Everything's cool. Nobody knows. Life is good. Here's what's so interesting about this story. In the first few verses, I think I've read 16 verses, okay? He's gone down to Joppa. He goes down to a port. He goes down into the hold of the ship. And now he's sinking down into the sea. Can you see the trajectory here? See, when we're running from God, our lives don't go up. Like, yeah, we expect I should still be blessed and everything should be good. Our lives, and sometimes it's so slow we're not detecting it, they begin to unwind and unravel, and we sink down and down. And it's like this current that sin has us in that it just leads us further and further from God's purpose and the power of God at work in our life. It says here, the sailors, verse 16, were awestruck by the Lord's power when the sea went calm. And they offered him a sacrifice and vowed to serve him. Here's what I love. Because this isn't a message of condemnation. I pray that for all of us, this becomes a message of hope. Because here's what I love, and this is a lesson that we learn about the runner. If we can get honest with our sin, it gives the world around us an opportunity to see God at work. When we begin to get honest with our sin, the power of God is revealed. And people begin to see God at work in our life. So these are the five lessons about humanity. Now I want to turn our gaze towards God, because what does God do with the runner? What would you do? If someone you love was running, what would you do? You know, if you had a buddy that was drinking too much, would you just say, hey, accelerate, you'll get home faster? No. What would you say? Give me the keys. Give me your keys. We would try to stop them in their tracks. You know, God doesn't throw up his arms in disgust. Okay, hey, have fun on the boat, loser. Amos, you're up. Come on, let's go to Nineveh. No, he doesn't do that. What does God do with the runner? He chases him down. You're right on. Listen to this. If you've ever run, and we all have, there is... The hand that reaches for us is not a hand of judgment. It's a hand of mercy. Mercy doesn't always look like what we imagine it would look like, though. So the next verse says, now God arranged a great fish to swallow Jonah. This isn't punishment. This is a rescue mission. And Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. So Jonah prayed to his God from the belly of the fish. He said, in trouble, deep trouble, I've prayed to God and he's answered me. From the belly of the grave, I cried out, help! And you heard my cry. I said, I've been thrown away, thrown out of your sight. My head was tangled up in seaweed and at the bottom of the sea where the mountains take root. I was far down as a body can go. Have you ever felt that? Like, man, I just feel so low. I feel about as far down as a body can go. He says, the gates were slamming shut behind me forever, and yet you pulled me up out of that grave alive, oh God, my God. This is Jonah's prayer from inside. He's sitting in a whale's digestive juices in the stomach, thanking God. And here's what we learn about God. Lesson number one, you can run from God. We can all run from God, but we can never outrun God. I love, you know, it wasn't like God said, hey, has anyone seen Jonah? I've lost him on the radar somewhere in Eastern Europe. Has anyone seen him? That's not God. As a matter of fact, Psalm 139 says, where can we go from God's presence? If we go up to the highest heights, he's there. If we make our bed in the depths, he's there. Even if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your right hand will hold me. Hold me fast. Your right hand will guide me. and hold me fast. Where can we go? See, what we learn about God is his legs are always longer than our legs. We run and he chases, he pursues, and he generally gets to our hiding spot before we get there. We can run from God, but we can never outrun God. The second thing that we learn is this, that God is in the midst of the circumstances that stop the runner. God's right in the midst of the circumstances that stop the runner, and it doesn't always look like God. God will send a storm to stop your running. He'll send a storm. You know, and it's never to, he's not trying to pay us back. Oh, you're going to do that? Okay, watch this. He doesn't do this to pay us back, but to bring us back to himself. Why did God arrange a storm? You just see God's hand at work in this. Why did God arrange that the lot would fall on Jonah? Why did God arrange for him to get thrown overboard? Why did he arrange the fish? You could ask the same question. The circumstances that you hate, what's going on here? The relationships that have gone sour, the things that make you so mad because life isn't turning out the way you thought it should, and you'll look back in the rearview mirror one day and you'll go, you know what? That was God. God was stopping me. I had my trajectory going this direction, and God was trying to stop me and get me back on the right path. What we find out in this passage, number three, lesson about God, God's discipline is incredibly thorough. I would guess, and I venture to think I'm right, but I think it probably took Jonah like 3 seconds to confess, oh God, I'm so sorry for running. But God kept him in the belly of that fish for 3 days. His discipline is so thorough, it will far outweigh and outpace our running. And it's never just for punishment's sake. It's like us as parents. You know, we disciplined our kids. And man, if we have to cause pain to teach you that sin will always cause pain, we're going to do this because we want to raise up morally responsible and biblically responsive kids. The Lord disciplines those that he loves, Scripture says. I love the finale of Jonah's prayer in the whale. It says, I will offer my sacrifices to you with songs of praise, and I'm going to fulfill all my vows, God. This is Jonah in the belly of a whale. For my salvation comes from the Lord. Here's the fourth lesson we learn about God. God listens to the sincere cries, the sincere prayer of the runner. God listens. When you're in the belly of a well, you don't have a lot of leverage. Hey, from now on, God, I say we do this. Let's go to Nineveh. Okay, news alert. You're being digested this very moment, and you're saying, from now on, I want to fulfill my vows. I want to do this with you. Let's go to Nineveh. Let's do this. But we see in this story, it says, the Lord ordered the fish to spit Jonah out onto the beach. I love this. And then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message I gave you. And this time, guess what? Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and he went to Nineveh. You better believe he did. But here's the fifth lesson we learn about God. God is a God of second chances. God is a God of second chances. I'm so grateful for it. He said, Jonah, I have a purpose for your life. And just because you ran in the past or you're running now doesn't disqualify you for what I have planned for you. I love this story. See, this is grace. This is what grace and mercy look like, that we have a God of second chances. And grace, I love Ben Stewart has a definition of grace that's so powerful. Grace is when undeserving people, that's like us, undeserving people, receive from an unobligated giver, God's not obligated to us, an unbelievable gift. That's grace. When undeserving people receive from an unobligated giver an unbelievable gift. See, God wills that none should perish, but all would come to repentance. His yearning was to rescue Jonah, and his yearning was to rescue the people of Nineveh. They were wicked, and he didn't want to pour out judgment on them. He said in the very last verse of the book, he said, "Shouldn't I have compassion on these 120,000 people who are dwelling in darkness, who don't know they're up from their down? Shouldn't I have compassion on them?" That's the heart of God. He's a God of reckless love. He knows we'll run, and yet he continues to chase. He continues to pursue, and he continues to reach out to us with a hand of mercy. I love this story because Jesus loved this story. Jesus loved this story. He talked about Jonah in the Gospels, and he said, "I am Jonah. No, I didn't run. But listen, I was plunged into the sea of the judgment that you deserve for you. And I can bring you peace. I went into the depths for you, and I stayed in the belly of a grave for 3 days. I mean, talk about unlikely rescue missions here. For Jonah, God turned a tuna into a taxi to get him where he wanted him to go. Wow, God. And for us, he says, I used a cross to set you free. And I've used a grave to give you life, to bring you life. What an unlikely rescue mission. And in the same way that Jonah was spit up on that beach, this is what I believe God's heart is for every one of us. You know, when we put on the brakes and we stop our running, if we just would put on those brakes and stop our running and turn our face to God instead of our backs, God says, "I just want to reach out to you with my hand of mercy, and I want to set your feet on the ground where my plans and purposes for your life are." And I want to address these two categories of who we might be in here today, because some of us who have been running with the whole of our life, you might just say, I can say I'm sinking. That I've been trying to squeeze everything I can out of relationships or out of business or out of acquisitions. And yet, it's like holding a cistern that with holes in it. It never satisfies. And I feel empty. And it feels like the ground from here to here is the same as the ground from there to there. And here's the fact of the matter is that when we don't turn our face to God, when we turn our back to him, and Jonah said, those who run after worthless idols from anything else, they turn their back on mercy. See, when we turn our back on God, we turn our back on the source of unconditional love. When we turn our back on God, we turn our back on our purpose. And today you might go, well, you know what? I've never really believed in God or wanted to surrender my whole life to him. But if there's a God who can save, could you save me? And if there is a God who rescues, would you rescue me? And that might be someone here today. There's also a second audience. And this might be the majority of us. And it's those of us that, man, we love God, we believe God, and yet we still recognize areas that we run. And I'm telling you, I think for most of us, we even feel more shame because of that. We feel embarrassed. You know, when I read these two pages right here, these do not represent Jonah's finest hour. I mean, he's a prophet of God, and yet he's running from God. It makes no sense. And yet we do it all the time, and we find ourselves drifting further and further away. It's not like, listen, this doesn't mean, you know, that our sins aren't covered, that we're under the penalty of sin, but we can sense the power of sin at work in our life, at work in our flesh. And we find ourselves drifting from the purposes of God and the power of God in our life. My prayer today is that we would just put on the brakes, because this is what I know to be true of God. He begins to break every chain everything that would try to be a stronghold in our life, he begins to break those off of us. And like Jonah, you might have said, well, you know what? I prayed that before. God, free me from this. But you know what Hebrews chapter 12, 1 says? It says, since we're surrounded by this great crowd of witnesses, these people that have gone before us, it says this, therefore, set aside every weight and every sin that so easily entangles you. Guess whose portfolio that's in? God, I face you and I give you this. I face you and I lay this down. And sometimes those things are too heavy to lift alone. Maybe it's like Jonah being in the belly of the well 3 days, and it's like, okay, day one, maybe this is what it looks like. God, I just confess to you. Save me. Set me free. And day two might look something like this. You call a friend, somebody that you could trust, somebody that's wise, and you say, you know, I'm struggling with this. I need to confess something. I need help. I want to put on the brakes and stop running. Someone that loves you, that won't shame you and condemn you, but that will be that arm of God's mercy saying, what can I do to help? Let's go, let's go, let's go. There's help and there's hope for you. Maybe day three looks like, okay, I'm going to sign up. I need to get into a support group or a life group or counseling. Maybe I need to sign up for a Genesis Change group or Pure Desire or Betrayal and Beyond or AA. I don't know what those cords are, if it's alcoholism or if it's just severe depression or something that's just winding itself around you. But God says, today, I want to set you free from that. Just turn your face to me and let's stop our running and let's, God says, I want to break it. I want to break the chains. When you put the brakes on, I'll set you free. And I want to put your feet on solid ground. I'm a God of second chances. I know the plans I have for you. Your purpose is with me. Your plans are with me. Your satisfaction is with me. So I want to pray today for us. And on our connection card, and I want to mention this as well, that we have prayer individuals in the back. And if God has been speaking to you today and you just want to do more than just check the box, you would love someone to just pray with you and go, just can you help me get started on this journey of just being free? Man, I just want to live free. And we're going to be in the back and we want to pray with you. But you might check this first box. You might be that one that says, hey, I've stopped my running. I never have surrendered my life to Jesus, but today I do. Would you check that box? And if it's you that says, I love God, but I recognize I'm a runner. You know, in the Old Testament, there's several feasts that the people would have. And one was, they'd have these sacred days, holy days. One was the Day of Atonement. And on that day, they'd bring their offerings to the Lord and they'd ask for forgiveness for the sins they committed all year long. One thing they would do on that day, every year, they would read the book of Jonah. You might go, wow, that's an odd place to read on the Day of Atonement. Maybe it was because it was 5 minutes and 45 seconds long to get through the whole thing. I don't know. But they would read it. I think it was because of this. They were recognizing, God, I recognize who I am, but I also recognize you are a God of mercy. And they would end and roll up the scroll, and they would stand together and they would make a declaration. I am Jonah. I am Jonah. I run. And checking this box, it's acknowledging, you know what? We all run. And I'm going to acknowledge. I'm going to quit pretending I don't. I'm going to say, God, I run. Would you just show me? Maybe some of us were so like, I don't know how I run. I think I'm pretty Lily White here. You know what? God, show me how I run. If everybody runs, the question is, how do I do it? God, how do I not include you in everything in my life? So if you're at that point today and you're saying, I want to include him in every decision, everything in my life, would you just check that fifth box? And I want to pray over us right now. If you just close your eyes with me, God, you see where each one of our hearts are at. I thank you for that, God. I thank you. Some are here and they could testify, I was a runner. And God, help me put on the brakes. And he reached down into the deep ocean and he rescued me out and he's put my feet on solid ground. And I'm now accomplishing the very thing for which he gave me breath. God, I thank you, and we testify and we say thank you for that, God. And I pray that songs of worship and praise would come from our lips because of your wonderful mercy, your hand of mercy that's been extended to us. God, there's some that feel right now like they're sinking. And God, if you can save, would you save me? God, if you rescue, would you rescue me? And God, I pray that, God, you would give them every idea, every thought, everything that they have need of, God. May the body of Christ be here to be your hand of mercy to help get them set free from the very things that would try to snuff out your plans and your purposes from their life. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for Jonah. I thank you for this hero of the faith, God, that gives us all hope. God, I declare today I am Jonah, and yet you're letting me declare, God, how rich you are in mercy and compassion. You are a God of second chances, and you're a God of discipline. Thank you for stopping me in my running, God. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Would you sing this song with us together as we close?